Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go.
All right, welcome to that nerd show. It's Wednesday. We got an exciting show because we're going to be begging y'all for money. But we'll tell you more about that later. Anyway, yeah, we got some interesting things to talk about, mostly about Jedi's from Dallas, the film that we're making. But I am Marcus Blake, one of your hosts, and with me as always is Brendan Smith.
Hello, nerds.
And back with us again, who hasn't been on in a while, is Daniel Granite, who has survived Vegas. Yeah.
Yes.
He can't really tell us about what happened in Vegas because it's Vegas. But
that's
he did
right.
survive.
Some guys just can't handle it.
But the only thing we do want to know real quick before we get started: did you join a wolf pack when you were in Vegas?
Well, more of a Blood Brothers type of thing.
And we'll just let our audience think about that for a little while. Anyway, yes, the title of our show, Jedi's from Dallas. We're going to tell you all about the film, and our Indiegogo campaign went live about an hour and a half ago, and we already got a small donation, so thank you, Mom. Anyway, but we'll get into more details about that, put some links out there, and if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you're going to be seeing a lot more of everything. And we'll definitely get to share some really funny stories about putting together our campaign video as we talk about the film. But before we get there, a couple of news items, and Brendan and I are going to give you a review on The Kingsman, which is coming out on Friday, and we had a chance to see it last night. And we definitely got to tell you about it because one of our favorite people was in the movie, Mr. Mark Hamill himself. But we'll share that in a minute. So, news. Probably the biggest news item so far is, Spider-Man is coming back to Marvel, and Marvel made a deal with Sony and got the rights back, and Spider-Man will be within the Marvel Universe and appearing in films. And I guess apparently he will actually be in the Civil War movie. We don't know whether it's a cameo or a little bit long, more than one shot. But as we were discussing with another outlet that we know here in Dallas, Clubhouse Podcast, and I'd like to give them a quick shout-out because they're great guys, and you should – the ClubhousePodcast.com should always check out their show. But we were kind of talking about that before the movie, that you can't really have the Civil War without Spider-Man. So
yeah, they could have made it work, but it wouldn't have been the same.
Yeah. So we're glad that Spider-Man has come over. Good things and bad things about that. The good thing is, for those of you that don't like the Amazing Spider-Man movies with Andrew Garfield, I guess he's no longer Spider-Man, and they are going to be getting a new Peter Parker. And they're actually putting Spider-Man back in high school as a much younger, hero and everything. And I guess that's a little bit of bad news if you're looking for a more established story, because if you put Peter Parker back in high school, essentially you're kind of rebooting Spider-Man yet again. So I think it's...
Yeah, that's not good news.
Well, I guess it all depends on how they do it. I mean, because you are talking about Spider-Man, within the Marvel Universe, and he's already Spider-Man. But they are having another standalone movie, which they announced for 2017. So is it going to be a complete reboot because you have a new actor? Or, that we don't know.
I think no matter what happens, I really feel that Kevin Feige, just, the producer of Marvel, no matter what they do, I kind of feel they have a grasp on what they're doing, and they know what they're doing is right.
Right.
So I'm not worried about that at all. I think a reboot, I feel, you never know what could happen. Maybe they could just have him be a character. He's already Spider-Man. Maybe they won't have an origin story, and you just know that he's Spider-Man because everyone who does – you don't even have to read a comic. Everyone knows who Spider-Man is now. So they're probably just going to put him into the film. I feel like they could do that easily just because they have excellent writers and just an amazing team.
Right. Well, maybe you're right.
I really
about
hope
that
they don't do an origin. I really hope they don't, because I have no doubt that whatever story they'll do well. I'm just tired of Spider-Man's origin story. It's like getting Batman's origin story, or how many times are we going to reboot The Punisher? You know, look, everybody out there knows who these characters are for the most part, and those that don't, it's like, okay, here, quick recap. He got bitten by a spider. Done.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of my same gripe with Star Wars Episode One. You know, all that important shit from Episode One could have been done in a 5-minute flashback, and the rest of it is totally inconsequential to the rest of the saga. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's just, don't do it again. Do something else. That's all I ask.
And there will be more complaints about that later as we talk about the film.
talking about Episode One of Star Wars, do we really need Jar Jar Binks?
No. And we do kind of have to rehash that for the film, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. I just want to say this, with all the media that's, you know, different types of media that's out there, you know, you're doing movies based off of comic books, okay? Why can't you do just a new, like, comic book? I mean, DC reinvented their characters with the new 52 and have that be your origin story. So, I mean, shit, you can actually hand out the comic for free or charge people, you know, a buck for it if they buy a movie ticket or something, but make them read it and it gives you the information you want without having to waste time in a movie for that origin story.
Right.
Just a suggestion out there. So, okay. So yeah, that was really the big news. And, I'm sorry. That was really the big news when it came to, movies and, TV and stuff. There really wasn't anything else that was going on, per se. But we'll, you know, get to a review on The Kingsman. Was there any quick gaming news, Brendan?
Not quite this week. There wasn't really much going on.
Yeah,
yet, so.
Probably the only big thing is the game Evolve came out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I will say this.
If you're a game designer and you're looking for work and you live in the DFW area, or even if you have the equipment to work remotely, contact Gearbox Games in Plano, Texas. They are looking to really expand their team for the next Borderlands game, so they're going to be hiring a lot of talent. So if you're in the business and you're looking for work, contact Gearbox.
Hey.
So.
Yeah. And we actually have a former host with this show, one of the originals that actually works for Gearbox. Still can't get any information out of him. They keep him pretty tight-lipped, but maybe one day he'll let something slip. Anyway.
Those
so that's
pesky little NDAs.
Yeah. Gosh, stupid laws. That's what's going on so far, so we'll get past news. And, The Kingsman. Brendan and I had a chance to see that last night, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I thought it was awesome. I mean, I'm not going to say it's the greatest drama ever, and it's not supposed to be, but it was an absolute fun film worth seeing on the big screen. And I thought they had the perfect cast for that movie, even with the young guys that, you know, we didn't even really know their names. But with the older characters, I didn't find any fault with it per se. If you look at it as a purely just fun action movie in the theater. If you're looking for serious, obviously not. It's not a James Bond movie, even though they make plenty of references and stuff. But between Colin Firth and, you know, Mark Strong and Michael Caine and Samuel L. Jackson being the villain, talking like Mike Tyson.
That was a great touch, by the way. You couldn't stop laughing at that. So.
No. And you will see a lot of, you know, familiar faces in there. And we mentioned earlier about Mark Hamill being in there a little bit, who kind of was playing
Jack Davenport.
Yes.
Jack Davenport from Pupling or Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Played Commodore.
So, Norrington,
I believe is the name.
I think that is the name. I haven't watched those movies in so long that I don't really remember everybody's name. But, no, I mean, again, it's not a movie that's trying to take itself serious. And the references to movies, you know, spy movies and especially Trading Places and everything was absolutely fantastic. I just no complaints on this film. I would give it a good solid 8 or 9 out of 10 if you're just looking for an absolute fun film. We don't have any information for you on what it'll, you know, for 3D. But we wouldn't give it to you anyway because we don't really, you know, review 3D movies to begin with. Unless we, unless we have to go see it that way. Seems like the Hobbit movies are always in 3D. But
yeah.
But anyway,
if you're wondering why, it's very simple. I have astigmatism, and 3D movies gives me a headache. that's pretty much why I hate 3D movies.
I guess it wouldn't be a really good review as, yes, the movie was entertaining and then I threw up. You probably
yeah,
don't want
exactly.
to hear us say that in our review.
It's like,
but,
wait, this was a comedy, not a horror. What happened?
My one thing about the movie is I'm curious about how many takes they had to go through on different scenes with the actors who couldn't stop laughing. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm not going to say the setup for this line because I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but just my favorite line. Thank you for such a happy meal.
yeah. I mean, I don't know much about the young actor playing Eggsy, but and I don't remember seeing him in anything.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him in anything. That we reviewed or anything, but he was actually really good in this movie. And if this is one of these movies that makes him an A-lister or somebody that, you know, is going to get a lot of movie roles, then, you know, I would say Hollywood give it to him because he did a fabulous job not only playing a gentleman, but also, you know, playing the young street punk in London. So...
He was in a movie called Testament of Youth with Haley Atwell, who's now playing Agent Carter. And it looks like it's that author that does all those books called Two White People Almost Kissing. at least that's what the cover is. I don't know if it's actually written by that author, but y'all know who I'm talking about. The guy who does like The Notebook and all that other stuff. Like every single one of the covers of his novels is Two White People Almost Kissing.
You mean Nicholas Sparks?
That's the guy.
Oh, you just wanted you just wanted to see which one of us actually knew the guy's name. I see. This is a setup. Basically,
Hook, line, and sinker.
Nicholas Sparks is good for one thing, okay? He's good for writing movies that Channing Tatum can star in, for the type of movies that none of us would actually review and give a shit about. Okay, it's basically for all the gays, for all the women that believe in romance like that is true. No, it really isn't actually.
Anyway,
yeah, I think Channing Tatum's like, there is a director out there that knows me. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. Okay, Magic, go back to the stage, would you? Anyway.
So yeah, but. but if we have to give a quick, again, good review on The Kingsman, I would give it a good 8 or 9 out of 10. I would give it a 9 out of 10. I loved it. I really did.
Like, here's how I describe it. I was very excited for this movie when I saw the trailer because it just looked fresh, and it was a throwback to crazy over-the-top spy stories from the 60s like Man from U.N.C.L.E. and stuff like that. But it was mixed in with modern day action, and I just thought it looked like a really cool movie. And so often in this day and age, you see a trailer and you get hyped up for a movie, and then you're just let down by it when you go. And
right.
This time, it exceeded my already high expectations. So that right there says all you need to know. I there were some things, you know, I was a little disappointed about just because certain things that happen at certain times, but I mean, they're just nitpicking and I'd give away plot points if I talked about them. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm at a 9 out of 10 on it too. It was just really entertaining. And I when you're spending $10 on a movie or $15 on a movie, can you ask any more than that?
Yeah. Well, if you want good, serious films, independent, that's going to make you think, I mean, and the Dallas Film Festival is coming up here in a couple of months. You know, we'll give you reviews on that. But if you just need a fun, not, you know, day out at the theater, then this is what that movie is about. Just kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy wasn't supposed to be a serious movie. It's supposed to be a good action, funny, you know, comic book movie. And it exceeded on all levels. So if you're looking for kind of a fun... Yeah.
it really is.
You're only saying that because you want more excuses to be able to have Rocky the Raccoon on your shoulder. And I'm
it's
all in favor
true.
Of that.
I don't go a day without having a conversation about Guardians.
It's so good that there's a nerd show that you can be on from time to time where you can talk about things like that. Anyway, go see The Kingsman this weekend. That's the movie you should see. It's worth $10-$15 for the movie theater. So, all right. Getting right to what this show is about. Now, for those of you that have been listening to us for almost 3 years now, we are big proponents of Kickstarter campaigns and Indiegogo, you know, campaigns, people trying to raise money for their projects, and we love to be able to help them out, you know, like our friends who did Nightwing. So tonight is no different. We're doing a show about that and helping a campaign raise money, but it's about us because we've told you guys a little bit about what we're doing, about what our next big project is, but now we get to spend basically the next 45 minutes telling you and, you know, convincing you on why you should donate money to our Indiegogo campaign. Ever since we've been talking about Disney buying Star Wars and doing a couple of Star Wars roundups, you know, we've been throwing around the question, can we really be excited again, even though Disney took over and they're making a movie and they got the original cast back and Lucas won't be involved and they basically tossed out his ideas for the next trilogy. But, you know, it's just because it seems like it can be good doesn't mean it is. So it's a very, you know, it's a very big question and we haven't really fully answered it yet because we haven't seen the film. Last year, we came up with the idea that we really should shoot a documentary about our journey leading up to Episode 7 because Brendan and I, we're fanboys. We're Star Wars fanboys. But because we do this show, we do throw logic into our arguments. You know, we're not going to like something and have the wool pull over our eyes. If it's a bad movie, we're going to tell you it's a bad movie. And even though we don't want to admit that there are such a thing as bad Star Wars movies, there is. We live in a world with bad Star Wars movies, and they're called the prequels. So,
especially episode 1.
Yeah. getting back to why we're doing this journey and why we're hesitant to be excited. We want to be excited, but we just don't know if we really can be. We're going to go see the film because it'd be a slap, you know, in the face as a fan if we didn't. But, you know, again, we're hesitant. So anyway, we came up with the film Jedis from Dallas. And it is a fan's exploration on why we love Star Wars and if we can be excited again, all from the perspective of media, fan groups, and experts here in Dallas. And we have broken the film up into 7 different parts, which we're going to tell you a little bit about. We actually started shooting last year, with the teaser trailer being released in the theater. And we thought it'd be a really cool idea to actually shoot the very first shot of the movie of us going to the theater, paying for movie tickets to watch a 90-second trailer that we had already watched 10 or 11 times online. And we did. And Cinemark Theaters here in Dallas gave us permission to shoot, and, you know, we thank them for that. But we have already begun production leading into the documentary, and today we officially launched our Indiegogo campaign to help raise money for Jedis from Dallas. We're asking for at least $25,000 to cover production costs and, you know, payroll and all that. And we, you know, not asking for a huge amount, but we think that our fans out there, you know, Star Wars fans who are looking for good movies and stuff, we want to share our experiences with you, and that's why we're doing this. And this is our journey, but it's the journey of every Star Wars fan, because we know we're not the only ones out there that are hesitant to see Episode 7, that want to be excited, but, you know, can't really come out and say that they're excited. So, yes, we officially launched our campaign today. We've already made a little bit of money. Not much, but we're getting there. And for the next 35 days, we're going to be raising money for this film. We'll continue to raise money throughout the year, even for post-production costs and marketing costs. But the bulk of our fundraising is over the next 35 days. And for those fans that are in Dallas, we've got some exciting events coming up over the next year, including the lineup that will happen for Episode 7 and seeing the movie itself. But to tell you a little bit more about the film, to break down the chapters, and also to give you an idea of who we're interviewing, there will be some surprise Star Wars guests in this film. We're not going to tell you who yet. We haven't worked out every detail yet, but that's also why we're raising money. We definitely want to interview some of the people that we've grown up with that are in the films. But between fan groups like the 501st and the DFW Fan First, or Fan Force, excuse me, and some of the other critics that we know that, you know, are Star Wars fans but look at it logically, this is the subject matter that we're talking about. We are talking about why we love Star Wars, our own personal stories about how we became fans. Part of the reason Daniel's on here tonight is he offers a different perspective than Brendan and I, because he's, you know, we're twice his age. Daniel grew up mostly with, you know, the prequels in theaters, compared to Brendan and I, you know, with the original trilogy. So you have kind of a younger generation that their introduction into Star Wars is the prequels, and that's what they know. And then there were the, you know, the original trilogy that came out. And you might look at it a little bit, you know, differently. But, you know, like I said, the first chapter is about our why we love Star Wars. You know, what's good about it, our own personal experiences. And then we're going to get into something kind of unique, talking about the history of Star Wars in Dallas. Now, a lot of you out there might be thinking, well, why do I care about a film about a bunch of fans in Dallas and their journey to the Star Wars? Because we know that there's fans in other cities that are taking similar journeys. We're the only ones that are actually doing it on film and documenting everything. But Dallas, like I said, has its own unique history. Some things that I think a lot of people don't really know. The history of or the fact that Dallas, Texas was actually one of the very first cities to get Episode 4 in 1977 on the opening weekend. You know, not... Theaters didn't want to book Star Wars because they didn't think it was going to be very good. And Fox Studios actually had to bribe a lot of theaters, so to speak, by if you wanted to book this other movie, Into the Night or something that had Donald Sutherland in it or whatever, then you also have to book Star Wars. And, you know, a lot of towns only had, like, one big theater that where everybody went that actually sat, like, 1,200 people. So, Daniel, you're from Dallas, right? Like, you grew up here?
That's right.
So, I don't know if you're old enough. I mean, do you or if your parents remember the old North Park 1 and 2 theaters near the North Park Mall?
Yeah.
It's now the big Dave and Buster's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we used to go there. I remember when that closed.
Yeah. You know, it was basically the theater to go to in its day, and owned by General Cinemas. Well, that was the theater that got Star Wars, and For our fans, a little tidbit of information, that was actually one of George Lucas's very favorite theaters that he liked to premiere movies. It was also the second theater in the country to get the THX sound system. Obviously, the first one, I think, was like the Chinese Grauman Theater, but the second one was Dallas. And when they did a little more history, when they did the very first showing of Jaws to everybody, and that's when they knew that was going to be a hit, they did it here with executives and fans right in Dallas, Texas. So that the history of that theater and those kind of treasures goes into what we're exploring, and of course fans' experiences back then and what it was like when Star Wars first came out, because it was about a month after it first came out that it really started to take on and become as popular as it did. So, but that's a couple of things that we're getting into, and of course we will go back into the prequels a little bit and talk about, remember how everybody was excited and then we were disappointed, and everybody lined up for those movies. Daniel, did you line up for a prequel? It's okay to admit that you did. We did.
Definitely for the third one. I think we were in line for almost maybe 8 hours, 10 hours. Remember, I was 10 years old, so sitting a 10-year-old down for a while dressed up in Anakin's garbs is a bit of a challenge, and I was excited. I remember that.
Well, see, I mean... I saw it like 3 times within 24 hours and really get any sleep. And while it wasn't like the greatest movie ever, you're just like, yay, hopefully this will be better than the other two, which it was. But then again, it was still like, oh, the dialogue's bad and, oh, George Lucas. But thank you for not giving any lines to Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, thank God. He was gone, right?
Well... Here's one of the other topics of this film that we are talking about. A couple of years ago, we had a fan email us about how to properly watch Star Wars. And, Brendan and I were like, well, what do you mean, how do you properly watch Star Wars? I mean, is there a certain way? I mean, is there the right way?
Apparently there is.
Yeah, and there is. And it's called Machete Order. So I'm going to tell our fans what Machete Order really is. You start with episode 4 and 5, obviously. You have to start at the very beginning of how they were released. Because if you've never watched Star Wars and you're a newcomer, then you don't want to ruin the awe and the surprise of, Darth Vader's big secret and being Luke's father and stuff. But you completely negate episode 1. You don't even really need to watch it because it's so bad. Except if you want to, if you want to watch, like, the lightsaber duel at the end, because Darth Maul is pretty cool with the double-bladed lightsaber, that's fine. But you watch episode 2 and 3, and you kind of treat it like Luke is having a Force flashback and seeing what really happened with his father and how he became Darth Vader, after he found out the truth and at the end of Empire Strikes Back. And then you watch Return of the Jedi, and you end the saga on the movie that, you should end it on. But if you watch it that way, the prequels are not that bad.
That sounds really cool. Like, I never even thought about that. That's awesome.
We had never thought about that either until someone told us.
Especially for new people who have never seen it, because you get two movies that are Luke Skywalker's story, and then you get the big reveal about Darth Vader. Then you go back and you get two movies that are Anakin's story, and you confirm what you've just found out, and then episode 6 ties both Skywalker stories together, and you have a nice fitting conclusion.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a comment in our chat room talking about Star Wars bubblegum cards. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, Topps made them. The same people that made the bubblegum baseball cards.
I had actually forgotten about Star Wars bubblegum cards. I'm wondering, like, in my box of Star Wars stuff, if I might, like, have them somewhere. That would actually be pretty cool to go back and take a look at that. Kind of remembering the memorabilia from back in the 80s. Exciting. So, anyway, take a quick pause, and we do want to let everybody know that if you can donate money to Jedis from Dallas, you can go to our website. We are accepting donations straight from the website, JedisFromDallas.com. And you can actually you can get a lot of different rewards based on your donation packages. So I'm actually going to take a quick moment, and I'm going to tell people about what they can actually get. I figure we should do that. Now, I'm not going to be as good as Jerry Lewis because, well, he's Jerry Lewis during a telethon, but I'm going to try my best. The minimum that you should donate is at least $5 because I like to think that we're worth $5. Daniel, do you think that we're worth $5?
According to my Jewish calculations, a lot more.
Well, you heard it there. Jewish calculations, we're worth a lot more. But if you're going to give a minimum, the minimum is $5. And the one thing about what you'll get with for $5 is you basically get to rent the movie online once it comes out. We're going to give you a digital download of the movie that you can stream on your computer or iPad or, you know, any kind of mobile device. It's about, you know, $4 or $5 if you rent a movie on demand or whatever. So you're basically paying to see the movie if you make a $5 donation. If you give $10, you can get a digital download of the film with a souvenir 11x17 poster. We do have an original movie poster that we have already designed. And so far, our date for to hit theaters is May 4th, 2016. We plan on being done with this film after Episode 7 comes out and after we do a round of interviews with everybody again about, you know, what they thought of the movie and stuff. But, you know, May of next year is our date. And we think May 4th would be a good day to come out because, you know, May the 4th be with you when you see this movie. So anyway, after $10, you can give $25, and $25 will get you a digital copy of the movie. We'll get you all the same stuff, digital copy of the movie, 11x17 poster, and you can get a T-shirt. We have a Jedis from Dallas T-shirt. And the next thing after that that you can do is you can donate $50, and you will get all of the same things from the previous package, plus a Jedis from Dallas beer mug. We're actually making beer mugs for the beer drinkers out there. So I know this show would be a lot more special if I actually had the Jedis from Dallas beer mug with my beer in it, but we don't have them made yet. But we will if you donate money. We're getting there. After that, you can donate $100. And $100 will get you all four of those things, the mug, the T-shirt, poster, digital download, plus a copy of Jedis from Dallas on DVD or Blu-ray. And then we get up to the big packages. Well, kind of big packages. You can donate $250 and digital download of the film, two T-shirts, two 11x17 souvenir posters, two Jedis from Jedi, two beer mugs, excuse me, and a copy of the DVD and Blu-ray, and an autographed official poster, the actual one sheet that you can get that we'll all autograph for you, which will be a lot special because our autographs will be worth something once this film comes out because the Force is strong with us, so you should donate at least $250. You can donate $500, get all of those things, and get a couple of mouse pads, an extra, you know, official movie poster, and an extra beer mug. And you can get three tickets to the Dallas premiere of Jedis from Dallas. So if you're here in the area and donate at least $500, you'll get three tickets to come see the very first showing of the film. And then we get into VIP packages. Now, this is where you guys really want to pay attention. And this is where the Jewish calculator comes in handy because to really you know, we want to measure you how VIP you really are. You, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're already VIP, but you can be more VIP by donating this amount of money. So for $1,000, you get a digital download of the film, 4 T-shirts, 4 souvenir posters, 4 beer mugs, 2 copies of it on DVD or Blu-ray. You can give it out to a friend. 3 autographed movie posters, 4 mouse pads, 2 VIP tickets to the premiere of Jedi's in Dallas, and you can get product placement in the film or advertising on our website. So if you got a product that you'd like for us to advertise in the film, like you would like, you know, a certain car that you want us to drive or something along those lines, then you can pay that amount of money and we will put it in there. You know, you see, you know, you see all those movies where people are always using an Apple computer. You know, it's not really about that they really like Apple. It's because Apple paid a lot of money to have their computers in that movie. So, isn't that right, Daniel?
Oh, yeah.
And despite the fact that we're not really Apple people, Brendan and I, if Apple pays us a lot of money, we'll play around on Apple computers. I will edit this entire film on an Apple computer if you pay us lots of money. I'm not above that. How about you, Brendan?
Yeah, I'll chill for a corporation for a little while we get this done. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. But I don't have to keep the computer afterwards, do I? So
I'm sure you can put it on eBay and some schmuck will overpay for it.
This was the official Jedi's from Dallas Apple computer that they edited the entire film on. That would be a neat little thing to give away. Okay, so you can do a $2,000 VIP package, digital download, 5 T-shirts, 5 posters, 3 beer mugs, 3 coffee mugs, 3 copies of the DVD, Blu-ray, 5 autographed official movie posters, 4 mouse pads, 3 VIP tickets to the premiere, and product placement or advertising in the film, and you'll get some bonus Star Wars memorabilia. We haven't figured out what that is, what that's going to be yet, but some memorabilia from Star Wars we're going to throw in there into that package for you. Something that you can keep in a box and save, and it'll be worth lots of money. Or maybe we'll just get you something that is already worth a lot of money if you donate the right amount. Again, we're not above taking your money to fund this film. Because if we don't have enough money, then we can't really do this film, and our journey ends, well, you know, kind of early. And we don't want that to happen. Okay, so you can do a 3,000 VIP package, digital download of the film, 6 T-shirts, 6 souvenir posters, 4 beer mugs, 4 coffee mugs, 3 copies of the Blu-ray DVD, 4 autographed movie posters, 4 mouse pads, 4 VIP tickets to the premiere, product placement, bonus Star Wars memorabilia, and that is when you get to actually have a producer credit in the film. So if you're a producer, if you've got a production company, anything, and you want to actually help us produce it, like there's always lots of producers on different TV shows and movies, donate at least $3,000 and you get that producer credit in the film. You can do $4,000. Basically, you get extras of everything and a producer credit, like 8 T-shirts and 6 beer mugs, coffee mugs. But the one great thing within this package, you will actually get a custom FX replica lightsaber. We are going to actually contact some companies and have a customized lightsaber made for you as part of your experience with Jedi's from Dallas, because there's probably going to be a couple of them in this film. And, of course, bonus, you know, memorabilia and product placement and a producer credit. $5,000 gets you everything, a little bit more, producer credit, and a couple of custom lightsabers. And you will end up with 6 VIP tickets to the Dallas premiere. And then, of course, our last package is you can do $10,000. And you will basically get, like, your film company credits. So if you want to help raise money and actually have your film company in association with what we're doing, you can do that with a producer credit. and basically get 8 VIP tickets to the Dallas premiere of Jedi from Dallas, and 3 custom FX replica lightsabers, and all the goodies with T-shirts, beer mugs, coffee mugs, and stuff like that. There may be more stuff that we give away later on down the road, but for right now, this is the big stuff that we're giving so far, and we, you know, have a lot for the VIP packages. So, and I've been talking a lot. And Brendan, what about this project that really excites you since we started it?
Well, I just think it's just going to be interesting to look back when it's all done and see everybody's expectations versus what they think afterwards. I'm really looking forward to seeing that, and then just talking to some of the people we know here in Dallas that are connected in the industry, and especially some of the older folks who were around and, you know, were teenagers at the time that or, you know, in their 20s even when Star Wars came out, and just kind of getting their opinions, and you know, because they've gone through this hoopla twice now with, you know, Star Wars movies and a new trilogy coming out. So you know, it's just going to be interesting to see everybody's opinions before the movie and then how they change, or if not at all, after the movie. So that's
right.
Really what I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I think that's a good way, you know, of kind of looking at it. I agree with you. I mean, you always have so many expectations going into something, and then, you know, after it's all said and done, you know, how things have changed, how your perspective has changed. And again, you know, it does come down. I mean, are we really going to be that excited about Star Wars after this film was done? Because, you know, the thing is, it could suck. We could be disappointed again. And if we're disappointed one more time, do we...
Honestly,
you know,
if we're disappointed with this, I'm very scared for J.J. Abrams, because... he will have ruined Star Trek and Star Wars in the same decade. Yeah, dude, be somewhere else. Like, hire personal security. I'm not issuing it a threat. I want to get that out there because, you know, the NSA and the Secret Service, they're all listening. But, excuse me while I put on my tinfoil hat. But... I'm not going to do anything to the guy other than, you know, curse his name on the airways. But somebody is probably going to do something stupid. So, JJ, I beg you from the bottom of my heart, every ounce of my goodwill towards you, don't fuck this up.
Yeah.
That's all I can say to you, brother.
No pressure, JJ. No pressure whatsoever. Daniel, since you're a young budding actor and going to be working on this film with us and everything, what excites you about Jedi's from Dallas now that you're college lad and get to do a new movie and be a part of this experience?
Yeah, what I'm just excited about is that, you know, you look at it in the long run, that you do something that you really care about, in this case Star Wars, and at the end of the day you get to, I think the best feeling, what I'm excited about, is you get to see the final accomplishment of the project and just sit down and say, can you believe that we worked this hard and did this much for something that we're this passionate about? I just think that's what I'm most excited about, is that when you really care about something, you put all your effort into it, and at the end of the day, it will definitely show, because that's what you care about, and that's what I'm excited about the most.
Well, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there. You know, we're not expecting to be millionaires by making this film. We're not expecting to win Academy Awards or anything like that. This is an independent film. And granted, we don't even know how many people are actually going to see it. It may not even be a profitable film. But the journey itself, you know, the experience that we're going to have with it. And this is the first movie that I've actually officially, you know, feature-length that I've actually directed. So there's kind of on-the-job training, and, you know, we want to give a special shout-out to, you know, people like with Little Spark Films, who's also helping us with this, to Joe Manko and Busy and Joe 2, as we like to call them. who worked on the campaign video and stuff. You know, again, we don't have any illusions about what this really is. It's just we're getting to make a Star Wars film. We're getting to share our experience with the world, and there's going to be a lot of work throughout the year. But I am very, very excited about, you know, like you said, the final product. What is this going to be? And, you know, are we going to be satisfied? Again, as a storyteller, to be able to get to share my stories with people, I think that's a pretty special thing. And this is just one more story that I and Brendan, you know, are being able to tell, and with Daniel, who's going to be working on the film with us and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's great and stuff. Daniel, how old were you when you first saw Star Wars and, like, the original trilogy?
Oh, man. Probably about 4 or 5. I remember, and I actually, it's funny that you just said that, because I actually have the 3 VHSs of Star Wars in my closet right next to me, and I'm, like, looking at them right now. And my dad brought them home, and he said, you know, you should watch these. And I was like, why? What's it about? And, you know, back then when you're a kid, you want to see cartoons or nothing. So my dad's like, don't worry, it's a good film. He puts in the 4th one, and what I don't understand it. So he says, okay, we'll watch it in maybe a year or two, maybe you'll get it. So I come around, I'm like 5 or 6, and I watch it, and I'm like, this is insane. I don't feel like I felt this way about any other live-action thing before. It, like, takes you literally out of this world, and it puts a whole story out in front of you that isn't so generic. It's like there's detail to it, and there's real, you know, there's depth, and it's just at a young age I got into such a serious, you know, story. And then while I'm watching episode 5 or 6 or whatever, episode 1 comes out, and I'm like, okay, I have no idea what's going on. Why am I watching episode, you know, 5 when episode 1's coming out? And I mean, honestly, the look on my face, my dad tells me the look on my face was like, what the hell? Like, is this what life is about? Like, do you go back and forth? And I was so confused. I'm like, where's Luke Skywalker? Where's Indiana Jones, Dad? Where'd he go? And I'm just like, it was just a huge mess. Yeah, exactly. Like, so you can understand, it was a huge mess for me. But as soon as episode 3 came out, everything made sense. I was like, oh, okay. So that's the guy who has the inhaler. My dad's like, no, that's Darth Vader. So, you know, yeah, so, I mean, I mean, you're right about the whole, you know, when you grow up at my age as opposed to back then, I don't think the first one is extremely terrible. Do I think it's good? Hell no. I'll never watch it again. But I think the 3rd one is amazing, because I was never been more excited. I think the 2nd one is very good. And the original 3 are just, like, perfect, because I am a fan of old fashioned movies, and it doesn't need CGI to have a good movie. But yeah, I think you're right about how people my age and kids growing up today, you know, they're watching the Disney Channel show of Star Wars Rebels or something like that. So it's continuing.
Hey,
but
I'm watching that.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Not just kids. I'm watching that.
Well, right, I'm just saying, because, you know, it's on it's on Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon. I'm saying even kids nowadays are growing up with the 6 movies are already out, and they're just meeting these characters on television. So it's like you kind of just have to jump the train and, you know, explore it. I feel like now you can't really just start from the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I agree with you. But then again, I mean, Star Wars, not only is it about those who, you know, have a big imagination and stuff like that, but it while it might seem like it's just a kid's story, it's also a very adult story. I think it's something that you can share together and still appreciate when you're 10 compared to 35. So
right.
I don't think there's any shame in watching Rebels. I mean, I look forward to being able to introduce my nieces and nephews to it.
I watch, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers Assemble on Disney. Also, I was just saying that, you know, kids, let's say they haven't seen the films, but they see the TV show. I'm just saying that's another way for them to get into
right.
the franchise. That's all.
Right.
Speaking of a way to get into the franchise, and I'm remiss for not mentioning this during news, and it is Star Wars related, but and I put it up on the Jedi's from Dallas Facebook page, but right now there's a Star Wars Humble Bundle. You have 5 days and 14 hours left to jump on this. You can get 12 Star Wars PC games for $12. Proceeds go to the Star Wars Force for Change Foundation and UNICEF. You can get both Knights of the Old Republic games, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy 1 and 2, both Force Unleashed games, Dark Forces. It's Battlefront 2. I mean, for $12, that's a whole lot of gaming. So go check it out. It's for good cause, and you get a whole lot of Star Wars goodness. So.
God, having great memories, you know, with those games. So, while we are running out of time, again, I want to tell people, you can go to JedisFromDallas.com and read. We just updated our site with new stuff about the Indiegogo campaign. Of course, you can go to Indiegogo and type in Jedis from Dallas and find us. There will be stuff all over city, you know, ads and social media. We're definitely going to keep you apprised about what's going on with this campaign to raise money. But some of the things that we're going to be doing throughout the year is we will be having a video blog of production, people that we're interviewing and how this is working. We'll be doing that once a month. But we've got Star Wars events coming up. And, in fact, for those that are in the Dallas area, March 21st will be our official first Star Wars event. It's going to be a Star Wars spin night. We got a really great DJ spinning some Star Wars music, and we're going to be raising money for this film. Dancing and just and we're gonna try out a new Star Wars drink that we're inventing. Yes, it will be good. I know a lot of you are already thinking out there, this doesn't sound very good. You're inventing drinks and you're wrong.
It's not gonna be blue milk, we promise. No blue milk.
No, it won't be. It won't be. It will be something with whiskey in it. But trust
something,
me, you're gonna like it. Yeah.
Something like, you know, Han shots first, you know, like little shots.
The Han shot first, shot. Nice. And speaking of, that's a good segue into talking about some major issues. We don't want to rehash a lot of arguments from other documentaries. There's some great Star Wars documentaries out there, like The People versus George Lucas and Jedi Junkies. Okay, and I applaud the filmmakers for making those films. But there, we will have a little bit of discussion about, you know, how the prequels were filmed compared to the original trilogy and changing story and, you know, adding into our fears of why this can be bad. Because, damn it, I don't want to live in a world anymore where Han, you know, doesn't shoot first. Or he's dealing with a bounty hunter that misses from 2 feet away. And the director, no, it was meant to happen that way. No, not exactly. No, Han is the type of guy that shoots first. We all know that. Just like Captain Reynolds from Firefly is a guy that shoots first, as he did in the first episode of Firefly. We're okay with characters.
And can I make a plea for the standalone movie after episode 7 before we leave? Can we just leave Boba Fett out of it? Because if everything in the EU is now non-canon, then Boba Fett is dead. He died in Jedi.
Right.
I'm sorry, but they have turned this guy into like the end-all, be-all. All he was a cool prop. This guy, baddest bounty hunter in the galaxy, he got killed by a blind dude. He had a jetpack, and he got killed by a blind dude. Who didn't even have the Force. It wasn't like, oh, I can see him in the Force and choke. No, he was blind. He was helpless. He just accidentally bumped him off the thing into a pit. He is one of the worst characters in Star Wars. Leave him out of the standalone films. There are better stories to be
done.
Yeah.
Besides,
like Jar Jar
Binks. Yeah. Every trilogy has a really awful character. You're like, Why are you in here? What purpose
have? But everybody recognized Jar Jar Binks for how terrible he is. Like, Boba Fett's grown into this culture. Like, people just worship him. And I'm like, he's never had a speaking... Well, he said... I think he responded to Vader.
He's worth a lot of money to me.
Yeah. So something like that. It was just, I mean, that was it. I don't know. I just
the biggest highlight of Boba Fett is when he's a kid and Dad loses his head in episode 2 and he's just staring at the helmet like. No.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
is
it sucks to be
destiny?
You.
I will Besides, say, though,
nope, your destiny is even more embarrassing. At least your dad went down shooting.
on a side note, before I forget, I was actually at the store. I think it was Toys R Us. They actually, for $30, they have the table and the set, and they have Han Solo and Greedo, and they're just sitting there, and just the exact scene from quote-unquote Han shot first. It even has a plaque that comes with it, and I thought it was hysterical. Like, it's an actual action figure set, and I'm like, why is this a thing?
I still want the thing that goes over your, if you've got a stainless steel fridge, I still want the layer that goes over it so it looks like Han frozen in carbonite.
Nice. I want to say this, but for a final argument on Boba Fett, you have a pretty shitty jetpack if a blind dude can just tap you with a stick and you go flying
into
his
spaceship.
Yeah, and you go
flying into a, yeah.
Right.
Flying into Jabba's sail barge and then get knocked out and fall into a pit and get eaten.
Yeah. I do love the movie. If you talk about like a passionate movie about Star Wars, the movie Fanboys is absolutely fantastic. It's cheesy and campy in a lot of ways, but I do love the argument towards the end, the beginning of the film. Like, we got to start perpetuating this myth that Boba Fett's a badass. Ooh, he has a jetpack. It's like, yeah, it's very true. Stop perpetuating this myth. Whoever played Boba Fett's a really nice guy, but still.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yes, we're going to be talking more about Jedis from Dallas throughout the year. We'll be giving you updates on production. And for those that are go back and listen to our podcast tomorrow, because we know that we don't get a lot of live listeners, but we get a lot of people that listen to us on their lunch hour the next day. You know, go ahead, get out your wallets, get out your credit cards. Okay. This is a better thing to donate money to than half the shit that's out there. Okay. And you know, if you're really concerned, yes, this film is made in America. In fact, it's made in Texas. If some of you care about that sort of thing. But we do need your help to fund this film, and we want you to be a part of our journey. Go online. We'll be posting our campaign video. There's some very funny scenes thrown together with us explaining about the film. Just some great shots that we had. Also, we want to give a special thanks to Mark Saltman, who is the original, who's the composer for the original music. So any of the theme that you hear on our first teaser trailer and the new music, we actually have new Star Wars music that's being introduced with our campaign video. It's the Star Wars interlude, and we use it in different aspects while Brendan and I are talking. So we'll be talking more about our own unique music for this film throughout the year as well. But yeah, everybody that's out there, if you're listening to us, you keep up with us, please donate. We need your help. So, and Daniel, so you're not dressing up as Boba Fett when you go see episode 7? That's already
well,
out.
I feel like I'd be able to fit in Jabba the Hutt more, but we'll see.
Wait a minute. Jabba the Hutt the monster or Jabba the Hutt the original actor whose part got cut? Ah.
Monster.
Okay.
So Dan sitting there going,
peachy,
wonky two cookies.
And my Rocky Raccoon plush toy, we'll just dress him up as that little monster that sits next to him. What's his name?
Oh,
Salacious Crumb.
Salacious B. Crumb, yeah.
There you
go.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. See, there's even perverts and creepy people in Star Wars.
Anyway. Let me tell you, that used
right,
to scare the hell out of me when I was little.
Yeah.
He is a
but it also,
Kowakian
it also
monkey lizard.
All All right, everybody, we'll be back next week with regular shows. Keep apprised of, keep up to date with what our schedule is. We'll be doing some more gaming shows and stuff, but we're going to get out of here. And again, donate to our film. We need to raise money. Be a part of the film, Jedi's from Dallas. So we're out of here. Everybody say goodbye.
Night, nerds.
Night, folks.